You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff writer, IndyColinRose.com, and one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. Welcome into another Saturday edition of the LOP. On today's episode, I'm going to be talking about the Dallas Mavericks and the Charlotte Hornets, previewing both games this weekend. Pacers play the Mavericks tonight, I listen on Saturday, and they play the Hornets back-to-back on Sunday night. Following this podcast on Monday, Tony will have a special actually podcast with a special former Pacer player guest host. I don't know if he's tweeted out who it is yet, but look forward to that one on MLK Day. And then Tony will be back together on Tuesday, probably with a week preview and probably a more in-depth breakdown of the game on Tuesday. But first, let's get right into today's podcast and preview the Dallas Mavericks Pacers matchup tonight in Indiana on Basketball Day of Indiana. Frankly, I don't exactly know what that means. I know it means there's a lot of high school, college, and NBA games, I want to say. You guys can tweet at me and roast me for not knowing what Basketball Day in Indiana means. I know it means there's a lot of basketball games played at the Cecil Field or Bankers Life Fieldhouse now, but that's all I know. But what I do know is that the Pacers should win tonight's game against the Mavericks. The Mavericks have been on a tailspin as of late. So they started 15-12 and now are 20-24. So that means they've lost 12 of their last 17 games. Granted, they're playing the West, so they're not playing like either teams. You know, their losses to like the Spurs, the Warriors, the Lakers, the Celtics, the 76ers. I mean, those are good teams. Blazers lost, another Warriors lost, Clippers lost, Nuggets lost. So none. I mean, there's a couple bad losses, like one at Phoenix, which is probably a bad loss for any team. But they've lost to some pretty good teams, so it kind of covers up the fact that, you know, their 20-24 record looks not great on paper, but they're not losing to like, you know, the Atlantas, the Bulls, those kind of teams consistently. Roster-wise, it looks like there are two players that could not play in the game. They're both questionable. That's Wes Matthews, questionable against the Pacers with a looks like a wrist injury, and then Dennis Smith is questionable with an illness. Smith's on the trading block, so I wonder if he will play at all. There were rumors, reports by Woj that Smith, the team's looking to move Smith, so we'll see what happens with that, and he might be not playing because of that, for all we know. The best player on the Dallas Mavericks this year has been their rookie sensation, Luka Doncic. He'll probably be a handful for the Pacers. He's a, let's say, hybrid 2-3, kind of, depending, I guess, where Smith and Wes Matthews play, that could actually affect whether Luka is playing kind of just straight point guard or playing a little bit off the ball or whatnot. But Luka is by far the best player. He doesn't have the greatest shooting splits. He's 43% from the field and 37% from three-point, which is pretty good, but his overall field goal percentage is not great. But he's putting up numbers, and he's a pleasure to watch, let's put it that way. Watching this game will be fun for anybody out there because Luka can basically, it feels like he can almost do anything. It's almost like you're watching the birthing of like a James Harden type player, I guess is the right way to put it, where a guy who can just hit constant step back threes, can pull up from any spot. Maybe I even call it like a hybrid of some, I would almost call it like a Dame Lillard, James Harden kind of hybrid birth. Like, you know, it's the beginning stages of it where it's not, you know, completely polished out, but you can kind of tell once he polishes his game over the next couple of seasons, he's going to become one of the best players in the NBA, kind of the way Harden and Lillard are right now. Other players on the team, I guess if Matthew and Smith don't play, you're looking at Harrison Barnes at the number two on this team and then DeAndre Jordan. Barnes has been a good three-point shooter, 40% in the year, but an abysmal 41% on overall, kind of like our great Tyreke Evans, who is, I believe, shooting 38 from the field and 35 from three. So it's never good when you're a guy who takes probably half your shots from three to have the same percentage as threes as twos. You know, for like Doug McDermott, who takes 60% of his shots from three, it's okay to have a 43 and a 40 number because, well, that's good anyways, but like if it was 40 and 40 because most of his shots are threes. However, when you're a guard or any guy who does take a lot of long twos or you kind of thrash at the rim, having the same percentage, your three-point percentage, is just garbage, just flat terrible. And that's where the Pacers probably will have their first kind of advantage. And it's Harrison Barnes. Probably, I'm going to guess, I want to say he's probably going to be on some, he might be on Bojan, I guess, or on Thaddeus Young, depending how they play him. I know they kind of play him at a stretch four sometimes. You know, I'm interested to see what their lineup was against their last game, because I don't think Wes Matthews played in the last game. I'm going to pull up their box score against San Antonio real fast. So in their last game, they ended up starting, so Wes Matthews did play, but Smith did not. So they ended up starting a lineup of Doncic, Barnes, Matthews, Jordan, and Maxi Kleber. I believe in that lineup, then you're looking at, I guess you're looking at Barnes playing more of the three. So I guess he will probably guard Bojan in that situation. Assuming they probably start, I guess who are they going to start in Wes Matthews' place? I'm going to go with, just top of my head, I'm going to guess they would start, what's the guy's name I'm thinking of? Dorian Smith-Finney would probably start in place of Wes Matthews at kind of this. And you imagine you might move Barnes to the two, theoretically, I guess, in that situation. But that's kind of what I expect, I guess. You know, they have no Jiji Barea because obviously he blew out his Achilles. So this team is down a lot of guys. But the advantage they should be able to take is on Barnes. One is kind of letting him shoot, essentially. You know, obviously you want to cover up his three-point shot, but overall let Barnes take his many long twos, kind of let him get out of control in the lane, kind of the way Evans does, and then you can take advantage of his defense by exploiting him on the defensive end with Bojan a ton. And then really the next obvious biggest advantage for the Pacers is that DeAndre Jordan is just a shell of where he was a player. First of all, he's only taking 6 shots a game, which I understand he was never a high-volume scorer, but that's still not great. He's shooting 0 threes, which has always been a Jordan thing, but he doesn't play defense anywhere at the level he used to play at, and that's kind of where the Pacers have to kind of exploit this team the most. Assuming Turner plays, obviously, and he did play Thursday, so I have no reason to expect he doesn't play Saturday. They should be able to stretch the floor on Jordan, forcing Jordan basically away from the rim. And if not, like, Turner kind of feast all day on those 23-foot three-point shots. And so that's where kind of the second spot. And then, I mean, obviously, Luka is still a young defender, and they don't really have a great, you know, guard defender per se, so Oladipo should have a good game. Overall, I mean, I don't know how else to put it, the Pacers should just dominate this game. You know, the Mavs are probably at this point where if they continue to lose, they're going to start selling for parts. You know, they obviously want to build around Luka, but everything else is probably expendable on this Mavs team in terms of creating cap space and whatnot. So that could be kind of interesting to see for the Pacers, is scouting out some of the players they might want on this team. You know, I'm kind of a fan of Smith Jr., but the Pacers have a lot of guards, so I don't know if they need him. Harrison Barnes, I could go up and down on. Obviously, he's an expensive contract, but he might be worth it in the right system. But this Mavs team essentially is, they're not like hot garbage like the rest of the bottom of the East. Like I would say the bottom 5 teams in this conference, because they have a really good coach and a pretty good player. And, you know, those go a long way, where the coach Rick Carlisle, former Pacer coach, obviously is a really good coach and just, you know, doesn't just roll over. I mean, the Pacers lost the Mavs twice last year, so. And that's a worse legend than they are this year. So that's something to look towards, that they will not just like give up. They won't just be like a team you can blow up by 20 points. But on paper, the Pacers are better, have better players. They have a deeper roster, especially with the injuries to the Mavs. Like, everything should be in the Pacers' favor. It's a home game. I see no indication that this should be like a, you know, there's no weak point where the Pacers should just like blow this game, besides just lack of focus and attentiveness to this game. And frankly, I think after the Philly loss, the team is probably pretty, you know, they seem to be motivated after losses to kind of come back. You know, the only time I think they've really lost back-to-back games is on back-to-backs a lot, or like weird 3-4 nights kind of things. But they don't lose a ton of back-to-back games because they are always able kind of to refocus. And this team is honestly well-coached as well. The Pacers are well-coached, and they come out every game playing pretty freaking hard most of the time. I guess I would like to see them kind of recover. Oladipo recovered from a pretty awful game. You know, Oladipo is now down to like 43-35, which is actually worse than Luka shooting-wise, and that's kind of a concern, is Oladipo is sort of becoming a high-volume shot-taker and not efficiently, because that's a concern for sure. But I would like the Pacers sort of, I wouldn't say blow this team out, because I'll talk about in the next game, but just because it's a back-to-back doesn't mean they necessarily need fresh legs, because the Hornets are also playing a back-to-back. But I'd like to see them kind of not have to hang around late in this game and maybe try to keep it, you know, 10 to 15 points and just sort of maybe not be able to rest their starters for the entire end of the game, but maybe for the last 2 minutes, and kind of sort of not feel like they're always kind of panicking to rush to come back or whatever it is. I would not be surprised if Pacers end up down double-digit points early on. They seem to do that every game. But I would be surprised if they lost this game, like I said. And I'd be surprised if they have to really claw their way back. I think they can probably get down early, big, maybe 10 points, come back, tie it up, close game, pull away a little bit in the third quarter, kind of add the lead beginning of the fourth, and then, you know, keep that, let's say, 10-point lead going into the end of the game. I'm predicting a Pacers win, which I think should be pretty obvious. I think the player of the game for the Pacers will probably be Miles Turner, in my opinion. I think he is due post-injury to sort of have a nice night, especially with Gianna Jordan. I can see Turner having kind of a 15 and 10 kind of night, maybe even more points than that. She'll get plenty of opportunities if they give it, if he's willing to take the shot, stuff like that. You know, that was the problem. And obviously saying in foul trouble, that was the problem against the 76ers. He kind of was always in foul trouble, and he wasn't quite getting his shots that he wanted. You know, he won't have to work as hard on defense because they just aren't that. They don't really have, I mean, Gianna Jordan's not a good player, so he won't have to guard him as tough as he would have to guard, you know, like Embiid was a pain in the butt to defend all last game, I'm sure, for him. On the Mavericks side, like I said, Luka's probably the best player on their team. He probably have the best night. But that'll be fun to watch Luka play because, you know, like I said, he's a star in the making. Let's take a quick break, and on the left side of this break, I'll preview the Hornets game. All right, so the Pacers play a back-to-back on the weekend, which is, I don't know, it's got to be unusual. I'm sure it's happened before, I don't remember the top of my head it happened in the last couple of years. The Pacers play back-to-back games on a weekend, which is kind of nice because it means you get two games, you know, two okay teams. You're not playing bottom team, but you're playing two teams that are, I guess, kind of scrapping for an 8 seed in their conferences. The Hornets have been... So the Hornets, Tony mentioned this actually on our Monday show. They're the only team in the league, and I mean, I'm just guessing, they're one of the only teams in the league, at least, they're probably the only team in the league, to basically be 1-1, 2-2, 3-3, all the way up to like 10-10, to 15-15, to 18-18. Now they are 21-23, but they basically were like 500 pretty much most of the season. They've had a little bit of I guess they're 2-5 in the last 7 games. But they're kind of the epitome, I guess, of average. They are the 8th team in the East right now. Again, like always, they have a better expected win-loss than actual win-loss. You know, they're 21-23, but with an expected win-loss of 23-21. They have a really good player in Kemba Walker, who is probably, unfortunately, going to probably surpass Oladipo at the guard spot in the All-Star game, simply because Oladipo was hurt for 11 games. You know, Oladipo's played 33, Kemba's played 44, Kemba's putting up 25-5, and his shooting percentage is actually a little better than Oladipo's. You know, I think if Oladipo had played 40 games, he'd be the number two guard in the East. But Kemba's played more games and is probably doing more with less. You know, and it's clear after Oladipo's injury that this team can handle itself when they're ready. It's got some depth for sure. The Hornets are playing a back-to-back, and that's what I mentioned kind of before the break. And that's kind of the biggest thing to look at in this game, because you would expect schedule loss for the Pacers, right? They're playing back-to-back to a team. The Hornets maybe hadn't played like Thursday or well rested, but no, the Hornets are actually at home against Phoenix at the travel from Phoenix, which luckily is an early game, so they play them at 5:00 Eastern time on Saturday, and then we'll play at 6:00. The Pacers, on the other hand, have to play like a later game. They play, I believe they play the Mavs at 7:00, and then have to play them later, then play at 6:00 the next day. So the Pacers will actually have a later turnaround, but you add in the Hornets flying, and it probably becomes about even. This is kind of the first time when I said scheduling. NBA higher-ups have really made a smart choice where, like, if I'm a Hornets, just like, I'm like, oh, Thanksgiving's a 5:00 game, so we just kept on our back-to-back. We don't have to spend, like, a 22-hour turnaround versus, like, you know, the Pacers have a 22-hour turnaround, but they also play at home, so it's not as big a deal. Other things to watch, Cody Zeller is out in this game. He hurt his hand about 2 weeks ago, and he will be out for probably the next month or month and a half. Hornets really players to watch in their team, so they bring in a starting lineup of obviously Kemba at the point guard spot. He's been incredible this year. Then they go Marvin Williams, Nick Batum, Jeremy Lamb, Bismack Biyombo. You know, that was interesting that they play Biyombo as a starter a lot. I sort of thought his days as a top guy are over. I guess he is playing in Cody Zeller's spot is kind of the right. You know, I guess I thought his days as a starter were over, but obviously with Cody Zeller hurt, he's playing minutes. I'm surprised they didn't start Kid Gilchrist, I guess, in his spot, but I guess the Hornets have this weird thing where they like traditional centers, why they have Dwight Howard, why they have Bismack Biyombo. Biyombo was pretty awful in their last game. He had played 9 whole minutes. Not great. He had 0 points and everything. I wonder if they will start Kid Gilchrist in this game. They actually played him more minutes. I guess I'm assuming because I guess they played, it might have been a matchup-dependent thing. Against the Kings, I'm going to kind of keep tracking back their box scores now to see if they started him since the Zeller injury. So you go back to the Spurs game. They just start Biyombo again there too. That's interesting, though. I guess they are playing Biyombo a little bit each game, starting him. That time he played 21 minutes, but he's not doing a lot offensively. He's taking like 4 shots a game or 4 shots in that game against the Spurs. And let's see, the last game he played in against the Kings, he took a grand total of Oh, zero shots. So I guess they are starting him, but they're playing Kidd Gilchrist more. And then Willie Hernan Gomez, obviously, is kind of their, I guess, their number, other guy off the bench is playing a lot of minutes. He has about 14 minutes per game so far this season. Obviously, that's been upped with the injury to Zeller, putting him in the rotation a little more. But this team is sort of top-heavy, might be the right way to put it, where you take their top five-minute guys, and really, I mean, with Zeller, I mean, their top four guys play 27 more minutes, and then they're kind of starting for that last spot. They're playing Parker a little bit, obviously, at 18 minutes per game, Monk a little bit, so... I think Hernan Gomez has got kind of in the rotation thanks to the Zeller injury. But I mean, this team, I guess, is all Kemba. I have to say, I mean, that's the serious part of this team. He had some pretty awesome games earlier in the year that was kind of willing this team to some wins, put it that way. If you look at his kind of raw box score, if I can get it to load, I know he had a couple 50-point games earlier in the season that were really good. He's just been a fantastic player so far this year, and it feels like it's a Kemba contract year kind of player. So he had a 60-point game back in November. He had a 47-point game back in December. He had a 33 against San Antonio on the 14th of this month. So he has a lot of kind of 30-point games sprinkled in here. He's been really good this year, Kemba has been. And so... like I was saying, he's in a contract year, and it feels like he is going to get something, maybe not a, well, I guess if he made it on the edge of me, he gets a DNP, designated player extension, whatever it is, or DNE, I guess, not DNP, the DNE, but I guess the max thing for him is probably 5 years, 190, that's what Butler would get. I think that's like the 10-year, right? Kimba's going to be in his 10th season, I believe. That's the max he could get. No, I'm sorry, Kimba's going to be like in his 8th season. He'll be in his eighth season. I think he can get a 5-year 190 max. I think that's the max he can get. If he makes it on the NBA, obviously he can more go up on that. I doubt he'll get full 5-year 190, but he might get like 5-year 160. So that's what Kemba might be playing for. Now, Kemba's also had a nice little run here for about 4 years of straight 20 points or more. He had 22 less than 23 2 years ago. So this is not unnormal for him to put up this many points. He just is even slightly better because he's taking more shots too. He has to take more of the workload on this team. That's where the Pacers probably have their hands full the most is if you have Darren Collison guarding him. I would probably guess we'll see a lot of Corey Joseph late in the game if the game is close, because I don't think Collison can handle Walker, but Joseph might be able to do a little better. Second best player on this team, at least, I mean, it's definitely Jeremy Lamb. He's putting up 15 a game. He's shooting, I would say 46 and 32, or 34, sorry. You know, he's been okay, I guess. He'll probably be guarded by some combination of Bojan or Oladipo, depending if they want to hide Oladipo on defense, which if they do that, they'll probably hide him onto Nicholas Batum, who is still kind of a shell of himself since his injury last year, which is unfortunate because he was a really good player before then. And then I expect, I guess, the Pacers to be able, again, to kind of thrive down low. I mean, that's where the Pacers have a clear advantage over a lot of these teams, is that they have two really good centers. Now, there's a caveat here because, you know, I would say Toronto has good centers. Philadelphia has good centers in Boston, right? Those three teams do. Milwaukee, I guess Giannis, if he plays center, is a good center. But and then there's Gobert sprinkled in there. There's Capella when he's healthy. There's obviously whoever Golden State's playing at center. But most of the teams in this league, especially the teams in the East that aren't kind of in the top, don't really have good centers. I mean, there's Vucevic, I guess, too. But the Pacers have two, probably not like all-star centers, but to notch below all-star centers, they probably have somewhere in like the third, fourth, or fifth best centers in the NBA, two of them, or not in the NBA, in the Eastern Conference, or maybe you'd say, I guess, fourth, fifth, or sixth, you know, somewhere in that range where Sabonis and Turner fall. And that's an advantage over a lot of teams who don't really have any good center. I mean, Hornets have no good center. They have to play essentially, I mean, Zeller was okay, I guess, when he was playing, but they have to play Biombo now. They don't actually have a good backup. And so that should be an advantage for the Pacers because they can stretch out the floor with Turner, or if they really need to, they can go big and have Sabonis bully ball kind of against Biombo, who the Pacers fans will remember from the Hornets series 2 years ago with Paul George, and that series was a lot to handle. That's where he really made his bones, getting that 3-year, $65 million contract from the Magic at the time. So I expect the Pacers to exploit the center matchup, and I expect Oladipo to probably have to have a good game for them to win. You know, I haven't mentioned Thad in this podcast yet. He's been having on kind of Thad's also in a contract year. He's having, it's a contract year Thad tear. He had 27 against Philly, but you do feel like for the Pacers to really win this game, you need some combination of, you know, the usual from Bojan and Fed of like 15 and 10 or 15 points. And then you need, you know, either a really good game from Turner or Sabonis of like 20 points, and then only people to put up, you know, his usual 20. But you can make up for Turner and Sabonis not having a 20-point game with an Oladipo 30-point game. That's kind of the recipe to win these games. You know, the problem is I think in both these matchups, I could see going either way. I could see Sabonis, Turner, one of them having a 20-point game just because both the Mavericks and the Hornets don't have a great bench, and they're hurt, and that kind of weakens their bench, obviously. And they don't have centers who can kind of really guard Turner out in the perimeter. But also, they don't really have these great guard defenders, which leave Oladipo to sort of just have his way if he wants. And then, you know, I guess you could say both teams have decent rim protectors. I mean, Biombo is not really where he was 3 years ago when he was playing with the Hornets or with the Raptors, but theoretically he's a decent rim protector back in the day, and so was Jordan, but I don't know, you know, compared to today, I'm not sure they're at where they were. You know, Jordan is a great rim protector. Now, not so much. He doesn't really get off the ground. I think the running joke on some of the Zach Lowe podcasts is that Zach Lowe has jumped more than DeAndre Jordan has all season. I expect Pacers to win both games this weekend simply because the Hornets are on a back-to-back as well, which kind of negate the back-to-back problem for the Pacers, so I expect to win both games. Hopefully this will be a recovery from the loss to Philadelphia. I did a whole podcast on Friday about how the Pacers probably still aren't ready to beat the best in the East, and that's really a concern and what they should do next. Listen to that one. Like I said, listen to Monday's podcast. Tony's going to have a special guest from a former NBA player. And Tuesday we'll do a weekly podcast, and we'll do some more trade rumors, which I would love to talk about. So look forward to that one, because there's always an interesting discussion about who I might bring up, the two players. I have two players on a list who I might talk about the Pacers should trade for, and one of them could move the needle for the Pacers. So that's going to be on Tuesday's podcast. That's all for his Locked On Pacers podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers, me at FreedomAdam5, and my co-host Tony's at T East NBA. As always, have a great rest of your day.